We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Doug Lamerese from Cleveland Plain Dealer and from Cleveland.com joins us now to give us the Buckeye side of the story in advance of Penn State, Ohio State this weekend at Beaver Stadium. Doug, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Exciting week. I think it's the week that a lot of people have circled on their calendars, you know, as both of these teams are navigating their non-conference schedule. I wanted to ask you, just from Ohio State's vantage point, but let me first ask you about the point spread that came out. I haven't seen where it looks like it's been bet in Ohio State's direction a little bit, but 3.5 points in favor of the Buckeyes. What'd you make of that? I guess I was expecting a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we had guessed 6. So I'm a little surprised. I mean, we know Beaver Stadium is a really hard place to play. We know these teams have played a bunch of really exciting competitive games the last couple years. Ohio State's offense is really good. I wonder how much Nick Bosa's absence affects that line, possibly, that you take Ohio State's best defensive player away. That's a factor. But I thought not a touchdown, but I thought more like 6. So I was a little surprised it was that low.
Yeah, I think there's scary issues on both sides. I think from a Penn State fan's point of view, and I don't know if this works into the spread or not, but for 30 minutes against Illinois on Friday night, they just couldn't get off the field, and they ran it down their throats. And I think the fear factor here, Doug, from Penn State's vantage point, is that they're not going to be able to get Ohio State off the field.
Yeah, Ohio State's offense is really good. If there are Penn State fans who have not watched much of Ohio State yet this year, but have an impression of the Ohio State offense from Urban Meyer's 6 years, from 4 years of JT Barrett, this is different. It's really different. So they throw the ball. They do not run the quarterback. They throw in rhythm. They have multiple options at receiver. But also, by the way, they have a run game that they can lean on, and it's usually the offense is pretty integrated with Ohio State. It's run with the tailbacks, quarterback run, and then throw here and there. This is like an NFL offense. It's like if you try to take the runaway, Dwayne Haskins will pick you apart. And I think if you try to sit back and play nickel or something like that and defend against the pass, then they're going to run it with J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. So it is a very, very difficult offense to stop.
And I think that's one of the things. You know, for JT Barrett and all his strengths and his ability to beat you with his legs, I don't think other teams really focused beyond, 20 yards down the field to try to defend that. Yeah. I think it got real crowded in that short and intermediate area, and I don't think that dynamic exists anymore.
Yeah, no, it's completely changed. They definitely, we've been, you know, for years covering Ohio State, you wrote about when are they going to try to throw it deep. They've got to try to open up this passing game, and they made strides. They got a little better, and they did. They tried deep balls last year. They didn't work all that much. But Dwayne Haskins throws the deep ball really well. He put it right on guys' hands 5, 6, 7 times this year. And like Tulane last week tried to, you know, get like maybe 8 guys in the box. They sort of had a single safety sitting back in the middle of the field, but they were trying to come up and stop the run. They didn't let any runs break, but then Dwayne Haskins just did what he wanted. Ohio State only played the first team offense last week in the first half. They had 6 series in the first half. They scored touchdowns on all 6 series. And they played the backup quarterback for one of those series because he's more of an Urban Meyer traditional running quarterback. And they like to put him in as a changeup, and he scored. But Dwayne Haskins threw for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns last week, and he only played 5 series.
Tell me about Dwayne's personality as he hits the road for a really tough environment on the road at night. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be electric. Some weird things tend to happen in these games. What do you about his personality suggest that he'll be able to handle that or not handle that?
Like totally calm and nonplussed, just like whatever, man. Just like JT Barrett was kind of a fired up guy, and Urban Meyer has wanted to see. The one thing he talked about with Dwayne Haskins is he wants a little more leadership, wants a little more, you know, stuff along those lines. But in terms of like handling a big stage, Dwayne Haskins has been waiting for this. He thought he could have done it last year. He has been waiting for this. He's going to the NFL after this season. This is his one shot. He is like a complete professional about this stuff. And I don't think the atmosphere will rattle him. The one thing and the hope for Penn State is that he's not very mobile. He is like a traditional drop-back NFL passer. It looks like Dan Marino back there. So if Penn State or anybody can get consistent pressure on him, I don't know what he's going to do, because he's not going to scramble away and make a play with his legs. He might roll out of the pocket a little bit and make a throw. But if I was Penn State, I would blitz him. I would attack him and make him nervous, because if you let him sit back there, even in a crazy atmosphere, he's going to pick you apart.
What did so TCU tried a bit of that. What was his response to that?
He got rid of the ball a few times. I think he only took one sack against TCU, but there were a couple plays where, you know, he had some incompletions just because he got rid of it. He didn't really make big plays off of it. Now, there are times when he gets rid of the ball so quick, sometimes it's like you don't even notice that maybe a blitz is coming because he gets it out of his hand so quickly. And they have multiple dangerous guys led by Paris Campbell that can turn 3-yard passes into 50-yard gains. So Penn State needs to be aware of that, but they can do that no matter what. So I guess the idea of, well, if you come after him, he might just get rid of it and then you're in trouble. You're in trouble anyway. So you have to make him uncomfortable, because he does just find a rhythm. And I don't feel like he's not dangerous. He's not going to make any broken plays. He's not going to make any scramble plays like Thorley and JT Barrett and Baker Mayfield do. So get after him, and that's your best chance.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking to Doug Lemerese from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He's a columnist out there, part of our family of websites for PennLive.com as well. Doug, for Penn State, you know, I think, you know, we're trying to explore. It's a new roster up and down. You know, there's a lot of inexperience and that kind of thing. And we're trying to figure out question marks that they're answering and not answering so far. We have an idea what they are, a lot of them on the defensive side. Where are Ohio State's question marks yet through four games?
Linebacker. Lots of people are confused about the linebackers. The linebackers in coverage were issues last year in their two losses against Oklahoma and Iowa. They have new ones, but there's still questions there. I think the stat was last week against Tulane, which is kind of like a triple option team, runs it a lot. The starting linebackers didn't make a tackle. They missed a couple tackles, but the idea of the linebackers in space covering, the linebackers chasing down Trace McSorley when he goes on a called run or gets on the move on a scramble, and the linebackers against Miles Saunders, and just like not letting 5-yard gains become 15-yard gains because you miss a tackle at the second level. Lots of concerns with the linebackers right now. I think the coach of the linebackers is bad. They've just have made some basic mistakes. They filled the wrong gaps. They take wrong steps. They give up a 93-yard run against TCU because they were a nickel. They motioned a receiver to get the nickel corner to the other side of the field. One linebacker was up blitzing, and then the other linebacker took a step towards the middle, and the running back broke outside, and like it was over. And 93 yards later, it was the longest run against Ohio State in the history of Ohio State's program. So if they could do that against TCU, we know Penn State's offense is capable of doing that. There are just fundamental things with the linebacker and with the second safety. They have one really good starting safety, number 4. Jordan Fuller. The other safety spot has been big questions in terms of speed, pursuit angles, cutting down those 20-yard runs before they become 50-yard runs. So they've given up lots of big plays because of fundamental breakdown in the back seven.
And then what about up front without Nick Bosa? Who should we be looking for that can be disrupting and kind of replace all the things that he brought to the table?
So Nick Bosa was like in the backfield in 1.5 seconds on every play, and like they don't quite have that. He's just that good. Number 2, Chase Young, is a true sophomore. He's a top 10 national recruit. He's next in line. Teammates here have already talked about the idea that Chase Young could be the overall number 1 pick when he goes pro. So he is on the Nick Bosa trajectory. He's just a year younger. A lot is on him now. He's really, really good. Draymond Jones is a defensive tackle, number 86. he could have gone pro last year. He stayed. Didn't have a great year last year, had some injury issues. He's been excellent this year. He saved them in the TCU game after Nick Bosa went down. He gets a lot of pressure in the interior part of the line. He will be in the backfield. He is very difficult to handle. He's a guy that is projected as a top 15 NFL draft pick. So they lose Nick Bosa, and they still have two guys who are projected as top 15 picks. That's the kind of depth they have on this defensive line. But Nick Bosa was just another animal. Nick Bosa, you could not drop back against Nick Bosa. You had to get rid of the ball quickly. With these other guys, you maybe have a shot to drop back a little bit, but I'm going to imagine that Trace McSorley is going to be getting rid of it, going to be running the ball, going to be moving the pocket, because still it's defensive line where you can't just figure to stand back there for a couple seconds because they'll get to you.
What about on Ohio State's offensive line? It's kind of my understanding of the situation that it's been a little bit of a journey to this point. A couple years ago, I think when they came into Penn State, their offensive line just wasn't anywhere near where they wanted it to be. Probably closer last year. Are they closer to where they want to be in 2018?
Pretty decent so far. Again, they haven't been super tested. They did pretty well against TCU. Isaiah Prince is the right tackle. He's a senior now and a captain. He's the guy who 2 years ago as a starting right tackle as a sophomore had that awful, awful game where he couldn't block anybody against Penn State. They have two other seniors at guard who are solid players, not great, but they're veterans. They moved an all Big Ten guard to center this year, Michael Jordan, who's a really good player but isn't a natural center. He had snapping issues against PCU with a lot of the low snaps. He seemed to get that fixed last week, but that's a little bit of an issue to watch. Then the left tackle is a true sophomore who never started before this season, so they have guys. They're not as good as they have been in previous years. They haven't been a problem yet. It's not an issue. It's not a glaring issue. But they just are not as 100% locked in with first-round draft picks on the line as maybe they have been in the past couple of years.
Doug, we got about 30 seconds. I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you're going to do it for us for Penn Live a little bit later in the week. But do you have a prediction or a key to this game?
Shootout. I think it's a shootout. Like a lot of Ohio State fans are concerned about this defense stopping Penn State. And I said, you don't have to stop Penn State. Just got to slow them down a little bit because I don't think Penn State can stop Ohio State. So I think we're talking high 30s, maybe 40s. I think you have two excellent quarterbacks who are very different. But I don't think either of these defenses is really going to slow down the other very much. So I think it's going to be a high scoring close game.
There you go. Doug Lamorey is from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Doug, thanks so much, man.
Good talking to you. See you later.
Yeah, you too. And you can tune us in at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.